Blog Talk Radio. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show this morning. We've got guest Rhonda Olin, prophetic artist on tonight, to this morning. I guess say tonight, but this morning. And I want to welcome Rhonda. How you doing, Rhonda?
Great. Thank you, Stan.
Amen. She's been painting for a couple years now and been really, really helping people with her paintings, revealing the Lord to people, and really, really touching people with her paintings. And we're going to get into that, and she's going to bless us with her testimony and how the Lord's been using her and how she actually gets into a painting and how the Holy Spirit shows her, you know, these pictures to paint. And it's going to be an amazing story. At this time, what we're going to do, we're going to go right into Matthew 6. I've been playing a little bit of Matthew each Saturday, and we're trying to work our way into Easter, which Easter is pretty far off, and it is probably pretty close, too. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. But, you know, we're going to keep on playing these things until we make it to that point. And last week we was hearing a lot about Christ, and we heard about John the Baptist, and we've been working our way on up. So I'm going to go ahead and play Matthew 6 off the Words of Promise. And the Words of Promise, you can find it at any Christian bookstore around, and it's an awesome audio Bible, and I really, you know, really prefer it for everybody. It really will touch you and your family's life. You can listen to it going down the road. You can listen to it while you're meditating at home. You can listen to it any way you want to, and it really gets the Word of God in your soul and your mind that you need. You get to hear it acted out, hear the sound effects just like you're there. It's very amazing. And I'm going to go ahead and play Matthew 6.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus.
Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them.
Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?
I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Amen, amen. That's an awesome bit there from Matthew 6. It's really telling people, you know, even deeply talking about how to forgive people and to really, you know, if your brother has something against you, you know, and it's really bothering you, say something to him, you know, tell him, say, hey, you hurt me in this way. And if he, you know, if he says he's sorry and all that, and if he refuses to say anything to you, you know, go to the church and just go in that route. But you're still supposed to forgive 70 times seven towards anybody. And he really points that down too. And I know a lot of people, they hold things against people for years and years and years, and the person that they really have something against has already forgot about it, and this pain and torment has been in them for years and really opened the door for the enemy to come and bring sickness and torment and stuff in their lives. And the thing of it is, once you forgive it and you give it to the Lord and really give it to the Lord, he takes it from you. He'll give you peace. And I mean, I've saw this many a time of things that, you know, even I went through, and I'd give it to the Lord, and I would actually, you know, I'd feel this peace come over me, and he just cleansed it. And a lot of times when things are going on with people that you don't really understand, and you hand it over to the Lord, when you release that, that lets the Lord step in and do what he needs towards that situation, because you've got actually a connection to that. You're actually putting amongst yourself to judge these people. You're putting amongst yourself to do these things to these people. And it ain't us that's supposed to judge. He says, you know, we don't supposed to judge no one. It's up to the Father to judge. Only the Father, not for us. So once we break that cord, and we break that, and we ask for forgiveness for being like that and handing it over to the Lord, then he's able to do what he's supposed to be doing with that situation. And it cuts you free, and it opens the door where God can heal that situation in your heart, heal that other person, when he heals both of you, you know, that little cut in your spirit is healed, because any time that you sin against somebody, it puts like a little cut and a little sore in your soul, and you're just opening it up, and then like I said, all the time you have sicknesses, you know, the enemy is sneaking in many different ways and just makes your life a living egg. And once you close those doors and ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord to forgive that and start working that situation, you'll close those doors and you'll start feeling healing and transformation in your life that you never had before. And I've saw people all my life that's really held a lot of things over their heads, and they got sickness after sickness after sickness in their life, and their life has went crazy, and it's just really went out there. And it's just because of unforgiveness towards people. They just got doors open everywhere in their lives, and it's just allowing the enemy to control them. And once you shut those doors, and see, the Lord has already paid for that. We're just not accepting that. And we've got to accept that he paid for that. We've got to give that to him. See, he's already paid for our soul. He just wants us to fully get our minds together and actually admit and believe and know what he did on the cross for us. Our souls have already been saved, but our minds is still trying to wrap around it. And once your mind wraps around what he did for you, that's when the whole healing starts coming in place. You start, you know, combining with your soul, spirit, and all that combines together in the grace that God has did for you. And that's what we need to do, is actually fall into place what Christ has did for you. And once you do that, that's when you start seeing healing, deliverance, and all type of things that the Lord will do for you. But, you know, forgive your neighbor, forgive your brother, and see what happens in your life. And I'm going to leave it right there. And I'm going to go into the interview with Rhonda Olin. And welcome to the show again, Rhonda.
Thank you, Stan. It's always a blessing to, you know, talk about my favorite things, which is the Lord and the power of the testimony. That was such a good word that you just gave,
yes.
You know, that forgiveness. We have to walk in that.
Yes. It could be hard at times, but the longer you're on your walk, the more you learn it, and the more easier it comes to you, and more, I'll say, the Lord gives you a forgiveness heart. And that really helps a lot. It really helps with everybody's transformation. And, you know, that's the main thing, you know. The more you forgive, the more you see freedom in your own life. That's pretty awesome. But
and that, you know, that forgiveness isn't just for them. It's for you, so that you can walk in that healing, because you're not holding on to those emotions of bitterness and anger and all that that causes your sickness and disease. You know, our bodies were created a certain way by the Lord, so.
Yeah.
Whenever you're ready.
That's true. Okay. Well, I always ask everybody that I interview about their testimony, and I was listening to Rhonda was telling me her testimony. It's amazing testimony, and I really think this testimony is going to really touch a lot of people. And I'm just going to go ahead and let Rhonda tell her testimony, how she met the Lord, ran into the Lord, and how the Lord started changing her life. And I'm going to hand it over to her.
Well, just thank you, Lord. I guess the best place, really, I was thinking about this for a couple of days to start is from the beginning. I was thinking about my home life. My mother was married to my dad when she was 15 years old, and she actually met him when she was 14. So she was pretty much a child, and my father was an alcoholic, and my mom was very codependent. So my childhood was really filled with a lot of verbal abuse, and I had very little affirmation or any really kind of attention from my father that I can remember. My mom had 4 kids by the time she was 24 years old. So she was really a kid, raising kid. My mom was really the source of love in the family, but it was a love that was based on performance, because if you made my mother mad or you didn't do something that she wanted you to do, then the way that she coped with it, she just withdrew her affection. My mom really, I think about her, she's an awesome woman, and she did a great job with the tools that she had. But she never finished high school, or she never had any of the opportunities that a child would have. And I thought about, she never went to a prom. She never really got to live out her childhood before she took on all the responsibilities. Actually, before she met my dad, she and her sister ran the household for her father because her mother left her father to go to California to become a businesswoman. And she did become a businesswoman. You know, they were living in a small town, and that just wasn't her idea. That's not the picture she saw for herself. So there was my mother living with a man who was really an alcoholic, and he wasn't a very kind man. And she was just frozen in her fear. I mean, fear really froze her and kept her from really growing. My mother had been married to my father for 65 years, and I can't really remember a time that I ever saw my mother happy. And I think about a thing Mahesh Chavez said one day that really just stayed in my spirit and really helped me see a great deal about fear. He said, fear will make you unreasonable, and it'll make you do unreasonable things. And fear will hold you prisoner and keep you in bondage and in places you should have never been. And I think that pretty much sums up my life and my mother's life. Because my dad was really, he was just a belligerent drunk. So there was a lot of yelling and fighting and chaos in the house. You know, when you're a child and you're growing up in chaos, you have a lot of emotions tied to that. I really see just that childhood foundation that was laid is where the negative things from my life started coming from, because I didn't know how to cope with rejection. I didn't know how to cope with fear. I didn't know how to cope with the lack of love or that feeling of hopelessness I had. My father, he used to say to me, when are you going to grow up and get your feet from underneath my table, brat? You know, he was in the military, so that was the brat word that he used. And then my mother used to kind of jokingly say to me, you know, you were a mistake, but you ended up being a good mistake. But as a child that didn't know how to cope with all the stuff that was going on, what I heard in my mind was, you're a mistake, and when are you going to get out of here? So I started looking in my own life for a way out. I started looking for something really to numb my pain, because I was in a lot of emotional pain. I had a friend in the neighborhood, I guess you could call her a friend, that when I was 13, I started smoking pot. And I really started hanging out with the wrong crowds till I was about in my late 20s. I had a friend, I remember her specifically when I was in high school, and she was a heroin addict. And I really didn't think much about that then. I lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina at that time, and we used to go down to Hay Street. And in Hay Street in North Carolina at that time, it was where all the prostitutes and the heroin addicts would go. And so it was kind of a very dark place. And I really know now, looking back from the healing side, that the Lord used those experiences to show me what I did not want to become. I remember one night when my friend and I drove down there so she could get some heroin, we went into this old house. And as we were going into this house, sitting on the steps was this lady. She was obviously a prostitute, but she didn't have any veins in her legs or her arms or anywhere that she could inject heroin. She just had track marks all up and down her body. And I remember just looking at her with such pity and thinking to myself, Lord, I don't ever want to look like that or be like that. It was, I really, you know, when I'm looking back on it and I'm thinking about those instances, I just think about how much the Lord spared me. I could probably tell you stories all day long about, you know, the things that the Lord spared me from. But then when I was 17, I graduated from high school and I moved in with a man that I barely knew. I guess in my mind, to get my feet out from underneath my father's table. He was in the military. He was a hidden drug addict and an alcoholic too. So I went right back into a situation that was comfortable to me, which was dysfunctional, because that's all I had ever known. I married this man because he pressured me to marry him. It wasn't something that I wanted to do, but that's where he was. He just wanted me to be his wife. This relationship was really full of violence and drugs, and again, that fear, just like what my mother was experiencing. I found myself in the same situation that my mother was in. So as the years went by, the abuse and the terrible fear intensified, and I really started thinking about suicide. I felt that I was really unworthy, that I was unloving, and that there was really no way out of this situation with me. I fortunately, you know, the Lord intervened there, and I just kind of kept on persisting in the relationship. I would hear things, you know, like, you just hang in there and it's going to all work out. Well, I hung in there, but it didn't work out. I think it was after about 3 years of this marriage, I had my first daughter. And the marriage relationship really changed after that. The abuse continued, and it really started to escalate. And my husband began having relationships with prostitutes. So it was during that time that I was involved, and I was really associated with drugs, a lot of drug distribution. I was getting addicted to the drug at that time with Quaaludes, and it was really just kind of like the downer drug that just made you feel good and made you able to cope with everything. But for me, I was taking about 5 a day, and I was still able to function. And I really thought that I had successfully numbed the pain. But the pain was still there. It was just I stuffed it and stuffed it and stuffed it. During this marriage and during this time, I almost overdosed several times. I was almost killed in a car accident. I was almost killed by domestic violence. I could have been arrested for possession of drugs. I could have, all kinds of things could have befell me. I just know, looking back, that the Lord spared me so much that could have happened that didn't. But you see, there was always something deep down inside of me, and I was searching for the Lord. You know, I can remember my mom used to take us to church, and then she stopped taking us. And as I was a kid, I would walk to church by myself. I can remember just walking through the woods when I think about those times by myself in my little shorts and flip-flops. And it was pretty incredible because one day a lady came up to me and told me that I shouldn't wear my flip-flops to church. And I remember in my child's mind saying, well, you know what? If I can't wear my flip-flops to church, then I don't want to come. So that kind of shut the door. The enemy used that to shut the door for me going to church and continuing to grow in the Lord. And I didn't really understand that time that God didn't look on my outward appearance. He was just looking at my heart. So the violence got so severe. I remember the night that I just dropped to my knees. And I cried out to the Lord to send someone who could tell me about him. You know, I was saying, Lord, I just want to know who you are, and I just need your help. Well, it was the very next morning, and I'll just say it like this. There was a knock on the door, and I opened the door, and there was a religion standing there. And internally, I knew that that was not the way that I was supposed to go. See, sometimes the devil, he doesn't want you free. And he'll take you out of one bondage and put you in another bondage. And some of the religions that are really occults are just another bondage. You know, I would be getting out of one bondage, and he was trying to put me in another because he knew I was seeking. So it was kind of a couple of weeks after that experience that I just knew that for my life's sake and my daughter's life's sake, that I had to get out of that environment that I was in. So I packed up my stuff in my Volkswagen van and my daughter, and I was leaving. My husband came home. And, you know, there was an altercation there, a lot of screaming and fighting, but I was able to get in the car. And as I was getting in the car, I remember him standing on the front porch, and he had a gallon of gasoline in one hand and a lighter in the other hand. And he was threatening to blow up, pour the gas on himself and light himself and set himself on fire. And I just looked at him, and I told him, go ahead. And so when I didn't buy into how he was trying to control me, he came after me with a baseball bat and started beating up my car. But thank the Lord I was able to drive away from that, and I went to my parents' house where I stayed with them for about 9 months. It was kind of during that time I was still searching for the Lord, and the Lord put me in situations. Actually, I started seeing a guy that was involved in the KKK. And I didn't know that until one day he had kind of taken me out to this area, and I realized when I went in that that's what was going on. So the enemy was always trying to put me in these false religions and these false places because I was seeking, but it was like that battle was on. And he wanted me, and I know the Lord wanted me. So it was about 9 months into that, still, you know, needing to get out of my parents' house and get my head around what I needed to do for me. Then I met a man in a bar, and he claimed to be a Christian. And that night, I just went home with him. And shortly thereafter, I moved in with him. And then I had my second daughter. And it was the same kind of scenario all over again. I was seeing this cycle in my life that I got pregnant, we were living together, and I really didn't want to get married. You know, that just wasn't on my radar at the time. But one night he took me over to his parents' house, and we were having dinner. And he asked his parents to show me in the Bible why I needed to marry him. And so I just kind of, you know, said, okay, fine, we'll just get married. But my heart wasn't in that marriage. And it really took about 6 months of being in that marriage that I saw the control. You know, he was saying he was a Christian, but there were just things in his life that he couldn't change. His wrong, he used to say to me, doesn't make mine right. So there was a lot of religious control. The Bible was used as a weapon to get me to do what was right. It was a different kind of control, but it was the same fear and the same abuse, but it was just a verbal abuse and not a physical abuse. But when I look back on that, you know, I see how the Lord spared me again from getting involved in religion. It was a relationship of law and very little love. And I was just, I started to see myself that I was being conformed to an image of what this man wanted, and I began to lose my identity again. So what I was believing was this lie that unless I, just like in my parents' house, didn't perform, then I wouldn't be loved. So I had to perform and do what somebody else thought I needed to do and be in order to be loved. During this period of time, you know, I looked really successful. I was born again. I was going to church. I was very artistic. I had great employment. But I was performing every time. I was performing to get the promotion. I was performing just to be a better person. But I didn't really know who I was. From the outside, it looked like I had everything going on. But on the inside, I was thinking about suicide again. I thought, well, here I am, second marriage, disaster, a different kind of abuse going on, the same pain's not stopping. And at this point, you know, I had been drug-free for a long, long time. So I was asking the Lord, you know, what is this and what's going to stop this pain? I can remember even there were times that I would be in church. And I would stand there and I'd just ask the Lord to take my life because I didn't see any way out of this marriage because the law said if you do that. And what my husband would say to me is if you leave me, God is going to get you and he is never going to use you. That you will never reach your full potential if you leave this marriage. So I was pretty indoctrinated in the law of the word and not the love and the grace of the word. And I started viewing God as an angry God. I saw him as a controlling God. I saw him as a God that I was supposed to be afraid of him, not in reverence fear, but I mean in fear of him. And that he only loved me if I performed and did the things that he told me to do. So I was really, really, really a mess. And I knew I was a mess. That was the blessing about it. I knew that I was a mess. I was angry. I was starting to become rebellious. I was broken. I felt devalued. I had no idea who I was or who I should be. I was just kind of in this place where I was going through the motions. You know, I know during that time I hurt myself and I hurt other people. But I look at the amazing mercy of the Lord because he wasn't looking at all those things that I was doing wrong. He was just looking straight into my heart. And he knew my heart was searching for him. So it was right after my first daughter graduated from high school and she left home and got married to do exactly what I had done, exactly probably what my mother had done, was to leave to get out of the pain of home. Because, you know, she went through the first marriage and the second marriage and being a stepchild. You know, she was going through some of the same pain that I had been going through and that my mother had been going through. So there just came that time that I knew I had to do something for me. So I found this counselor. Somebody told me about this lady, and she was really awesome. And because I'd really gotten to the end of my, I was tired of being controlled. I was tired of living in fear. I was tired of performing to meet somebody else's expectations. And I was tired of not knowing who I was. And I was tired of believing someone else's perception of who God was and how I was supposed to be if I was called a Christian. Well, I didn't see my daughter's pain, just like my mom hadn't seen my pain or her mother's pain. All I could see and all that I could do was just survive. So with the help of this counselor, off and on for years, I was able to live alone and walk into my healing. Mostly, you know, I can just remember reading the Word, studying the Word, being in the Word, and finding God of the Bible for me. And when I found that he was truly a God of forgiveness and a God of love. And if you don't know what love is, it's kind of hard to find that love. You know, if love has always been abuse and if love has always been a control, then that's what, how you view love, and that's how I view God. But when I started reading in the Word, you know, and seeing the attributes and characteristics and of God, that, you know, he was a God of love, and he was a God that forgives no matter what you've done. So, and he was a God that, you know, redeems what the enemy has stolen. By the world standards, I should have been in jail. I should have been dead countless times. The world would have seen me and counted me as worthless or counted me as, you know, that there's no hope for that person. I would have just been disregarded by the world standards. But those aren't God's standards. You know, God has a different standard. The standard for me now in my life is what the Word of God says about me, that I'm valuable, that I'm redeemed, you know, that my sins are forgiven, that I can walk in wholeness and in life and in joy. So, you know, I just thought about this, you know, when we were talking, Stan, that how many stories, you know, maybe I need to write a book or maybe the Lord, you know, for whatever time and season, but there's just so many incidences and so many times that the Lord intervened and intervened and intervened, and he never gave up on me. You know, the world would have given up. And so now, you know, I've been married for 17 years to an awesome man that my daughters just love, and you know, I have been free of street drugs for 4 years. You know, I've been free of any kind of addiction, and I'm walking in peace. You know, I wake up in peace, and when I look back and I think about even just, you know, rethinking about where you've been, it doesn't even seem like that I'm that person that lived that life. I mean, I know I did, but the way that the Lord has come into my life and transformed my life and given me a purpose, you know, that person just seems like somebody I used to know. And I think that's a good thing, you know, that there's really, the Lord can heal you.
Yes, awesome. I know, I remember a guy that I went to church with a long time ago, and he was a pretty bad guy at one time. He robbed a lot of stores and did a lot of bad things, was in prison for many years. And since he's been out of prison and he's changed, his wife's asked him, you know, what happened when you was doing all this stuff? And he said, told his wife, he said, tell you the truth, I can't remember. I don't think like that no more. I've changed. I can't really tell you what it's all about anymore because I'm, and when he was talking about that, it kind of reminded me of that, what I've heard him say. And one thing about your testimony that I was hearing is you had a lot of hurt people in your life. They was hurting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And normally when a lot of people has pain, that's the only thing they can reflect is pain.
Right.
It ain't that they was created like that. It's because they have been put in bad situations that has manipulated their mind, and the enemy has messed with them to a point that that's the only thing they know, and they produce that. But it's, I mean, when we're going, I mean, I even been through a situation like it when I was raised up. I went through some bad stuff in my childhood, But when the Lord takes you out of that situation and lets you look back and you'll say, well, these people was really hurt and they just had no idea how to raise me, you know.
Yeah.
They was, and it gets like that because we, you know, the change that we have in our lives is the change that God has did in us where we could start seeing through his eyes and not through their eyes and through the eyes of pain. And when we don't see through the eyes of pain anymore, we see what's going on. We see the torment that the people that was the abusers, it was the people in pain, that they knew nothing else, or they had no respect because they never was taught any respect. And it's, you know, it's very important to teach your children the right thing. It's very important to take that little extra time to teach your children, because if you don't, they might turn up to be something like this. They can abuse their children. They can do something to their children. And we don't. And there's a generation now that the parents are too busy going to parties and working 20 jobs and not paying no attention to their kids.
Amen.
And they can be raising a abusive generation. They have no idea that the enemy has in mind for them. They had nobody teaching them right from wrong. And they're going to have this type of abuse in their family, whether they want it or not, because they didn't take that time to raise their children. They're too busy going to the club, or too busy putting them into five or six different baseball games and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of spending a little bit of time trying to teach them right from wrong. And I'm telling you, and I'm not talking about abuse, because abuse ain't teaching. Talking to them, showing them how to love and live. And a lot of times, the way that you reveal your life to them is how they're going to see things. And, you know, it's hard at times, because we go in the anger and we got to learn how to control that anger. And when you don't have the Lord in your life transforming you, where you can see these things, that's where you run into problems, because you're going to perform the same way your parents did. You know?
That's
so,
that cycle.
Yeah, that cycle. And you've got... It truly is.
It's that... I mean, when I look at what my mother's mother did, my mother did the same thing, only in a different way. I did the same thing. My oldest daughter did the same thing. You know, thank the Lord, my youngest daughter always walked in the Lord. I mean, she saw. We were able to communicate because I started walking into healing. She's walked. She hadn't had to have that pain. She's walked into her healing. But, you know, she had to live with the pain of the divorce from her father. So, you know, being able to talk to your children, even if you've made all the mistakes that you've made, the Lord can come in there. And that's the beauty. I love that you did the Matthew scripture of that forgiveness. That, you know, I had to forgive my parents. I had to forgive my siblings. I had to forgive the people that hurt me. Because if I held on to that unforgiveness, then it would have just eaten me alive, you know. There would have been no movement in the spirit. There would have been a block in the spirit. You know, the Lord still loved me and all that. But if I hold on to that, and, you know, you're so right. If you're raising a child and they have no idea how to cope with these things, they're going to probably cope in a negative way. Unless there's someone who comes along in their life to teach them and to raise them up in the way that they should go. You know, they're going to follow that pattern. But that's one of the amazing things, is I do believe that there's a defining moment in everybody's life. And I can remember mine when I said, this is not how I want to live. This is not who I am. And I've got to take responsibility. I could spend all the rest of my life blaming my parents or blaming ex-husbands or blaming all that stuff that I chose to get involved with, or I had to take responsibility for me. You know, God has given me this life as a gift to honor him and to bless and, you know, exalt him, not to exalt myself. And I can't do that walking in unforgiveness. You know, I made that choice to find out, you know, and to go for help. And, you know, that's a major choice right there, that you just got to see that place where you are, and it's a horrible place. But the good news is the Lord who can redeem all that. And even if you've blown it, even if your children were affected by what you happened to you, when you start walking in healing, then you can help them come out of their pain so that they don't keep that cycle going, you know, for their children. I mean, you can see it in families. You just see that, you know, they modeled what they saw. I modeled what I was seeing. And all that dysfunction, it was comfortable. You know, when that's all you knew as a child, well, that dysfunction is a comfortable place to be because, you know, if you're not in it, then it what's true is uncomfortable until you get healed.
Yeah. That's true. We're going to go right into the song, and we're going to get right back into your interview about, you know, when the Lord will start working on you and start transforming you where you can start doing your paintings. We'll be right back.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. Seems I don't know where to start. But it's now that I feel you breathe for like rain from every fingertip, washing away my pain.
go back in.
Amen.
We're back here with Rhonda Olin, and we just got done with her testimony just now. She's talking about all the things she's been through in her life, and it's a very strong testimony of, you know, abuse and stuff, you know, going through your life and have abusive parents and stuff like that. And Amin here was talking about, you know, how the abusive parents is not really the parents, is the stuff that has transformed them into that person that they are. And that, you know, any time that we have people like in our lives, we need to pray for them and try to ask the Lord to intervene into their lives and reveal this pain to them, what is going through, and get them help, get them transformed and introduce them to the Lord where he can do work in them that he's doing actually in us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her, even with my own little testimony, I never gave up much of a testimony on the show, but even in my life with stuff that I went through, it took me a while to transform my eyes, to stop seeing the abusers as abusers and see them as hurt people. And the Lord can let you look through his eyes for a split moment to see what he sees in these people. He loves them as much as he loves you, but they can't see that love. They only could see pain. And when they're seeing that pain, the enemy uses that pain to control them. That is his connection to these people, is his pain, and he'll use it to control them, to guide him to do all of his biddings that he wants them to do. Now, if he has no pain to control them, they're free. And the enemy don't like that. He'll try to add more pain to where he'll have another, I'll say, like a puppet to control with the pain. He puts one string of pain around one arm and another string around the other arm, and he starts controlling you through that pain. And once Christ comes in with his blood and his salvation, cuts them strings loose, you're free. You're not going to walk around in that pain. You ain't going to treat your family that bad like it. You're going to love them as the Lord wants you to love them. But anybody out there that has this in their family and has this pain going on, these people just mistreating you and abusing you and all this stuff, it's not these people. It's the enemy using pain in them to control them to that point. And I really, really, really push for you to pray for these people. And sometimes you'll feel like your prayers is hitting hard walls, but it's really not. It's trying to and show these people love. And sometimes you'll get into a situation, you need to get out.
That's
because
right.
They're just not getting the message. You need to get out because you will get hurt. But when you're out, pray for these people. Try to get help. It might get to a point where you need them to get arrested to open their eyes because they're in so much pain they cannot see what they're doing. When they get put behind bars, their eyes are like, "Wham! I'm doing something wrong," you know. And I saw that. And you know, do not stay into a situation like that. Pray for them in and out the house. I mean, if they're hurt you to a point, get out. It can get bad. Get out. Get them help. But do not stay in that situation because it can get even worse, and you can get hurt. Maybe your children get hurt. But if you do need help, don't think twice but picking up the phone, calling 911 and get some help, because they might need that. They might tell you, please don't do this and that, but a lot of times when these people get arrested, it opens their eyes, and I can't tell you how many people that's been in jail and their eyes have opened and came out changed. People that's been in prison for a couple years and their eyes opened up and they was changed because they saw what they were doing was wrong. And sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it takes counseling. I mean, you never know. But these people, it's not them doing this. It's actually, I'll say, it's the enemy using that pain in there to control them. And so sometimes the enemy has so much pain on them that they're completely blinded. They cannot see what's going on. And you can see people after they've already been saved and received Christ, blinders been took off, they don't even remember some of the things that they've done. They don't remember some of the things that they've done. And it just indicates that the enemy is controlling that whole situation. And I'm telling you, anytime you hold unforgiveness, the enemy has a chain on you. He's going to use that to control
you.
He's actually...
I'm sorry. I just want, you know, I hear a lot of women I've talked to about domestic violence will say, well, I don't have any help. There's no way out. You know, they stay in that situation because it takes a lot of courage to get up, gird yourself, get up, and go get help. But it is not hopeless. It is not helpless because the Lord will make a way. And you may have to stand and stand and stand, but you keep standing and the Lord will make a way. You know, there is help out there. There are places where you can get help for domestic violence.
Amen. And I think there's women's shelters where they take in women that's been abused, and they'll take you in and hide you away for a while and things like that. And really, you know, the law has really got hard on that, on abuse.
Yeah,
they really
the police
don't stand
will help
for
you.
It. Back, yeah.
The police,
I know back years ago.
You know. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I know back many years ago that they wouldn't really, you know, the law wouldn't really mess with that. But nowadays, since there has been women killed because of this, and they have got, I'll say the law has been sued because of not stepping in, and they have opened their eyes to this type of thing. And if you need help, you know, just don't think twice, but have this taken care of. And a lot of times when you have this stuff taken care of, it lets the person's eyes open. No, I'm doing something wrong, and they need to change. And they'll find out what happens if they don't change. And sometimes it takes that. And a lot of people say, "Don't call on them because you know you're gonna hurt them." Though you may help them, And there's some situations that ain't that bad. That some people have made it worse than what it was. And just pray for these people, you know. But, you know, we do not condone violence at all, and we do know that the Lord will get you help. He will send the right person at the right time. And I saw this many a time where the Lord has came and sent somebody in to help you get out of that situation. And I'm going to stop right here on that. We're going to get into her painting and where the Lord started to revealing her gift to her. Now, Rhonda, when did you start getting that revealed to you that you had this gift of painting that the Lord gave you?
Well, I think as a child, one of the things I always did was doodle and make mud pies. And, you know, it was always creativity always just stirred me up. That's what I know. I didn't have the opportunity to be trained that way. But I was actually, for about 5 or 6 years, I was a stained glass artisan, and I trained under the masters and stuff and perfected that art. And then I went into pottery for about 10 years and trained under masters and kind of perfected that art. And I was doing pottery at the time. Did a friend of mine from church, you know, noticed that I doodled a lot, and she really prayed about it. And she came to me and she said, I really see that the Lord has, you know, I see you coming up, because she'd started what she called the prophetic arts at our church. And she'd schedule people to come up every Sunday, 2 or 3 people, and paint during worship. And I was like, no, I just can't do that. You know, I just did not see that for myself. And she goes, well, you just pray about it. And, you know, I was faithful to do that. And I said, well, Lord, I don't see it, but that doesn't mean you don't see it. So I'll be willing to go do this. And it was on an Easter Sunday, and as I was up there, the Lord had given me the picture the night before to make me feel better. He'll do that sometimes. So it was an open tomb, because I was asking the Lord, what did the tomb look like after Jesus was gone? You know, I really felt like there was a lot of angelic things going on there. So he gave me that picture, and it was from that day. I've given one of my potter's wheels away, and I've pretty much gotten rid of that stuff, because I felt like canvas was the medium that was made for me, that I was made for, because it's very forgiving, and acrylics is very forgiving. And so it started like that. Somebody called it out of me, stepped into it.
Amen, amen. Now, when they called you up to receive this gift, and the Lord downloaded this to you, did you have a clue that this was going to happen? It's just this all of a sudden?
No, it was in 2010 is when that happened. you know, that she just kind of challenged me to come up there and prayed over me and stuff. And then since then, I've been, when I lay hands on people, I ask the Lord everything he's imparted to me to impart to somebody else. But I really, I had no idea. I started, I was doing colored pencils and pastels, and then I went to a worship arts up in Black Mountain with a group of people that meet there every year. And that's when I really got the full picture of what the Lord was showing me. But what, he just took me step by step, okay? I was obedient in going up. She had gotten the word from the Lord to call and contact me. I was obedient to get up and move and walk into that. And then each time that he gave me something else, I was obedient to walk into it so something else came along. And so he just started connecting me. And at the worship arts, they were very specific. I mean, it was just, it was awesome because that was a whole new world to me. I didn't even know that prophetic arts existed. I didn't know that people have been healed by looking at pictures that the Lord has done. I mean, it was all new to me and it was awesome. So I really started becoming very pursuing that. And the Lord would bring people. I would take classes and he would bring people into my path that would teach me. I didn't know how to use paintbrushes. I didn't know how to do, you know, I didn't know how to do anything, but I jumped in because it was such a it was so burning on the inside of me that the Lord was giving me pictures all the time. And I never really thought about that. You know, I was always artistic. But then I started understanding that he was giving me pictures from heaven that he wanted me to reveal on earth. The scripture says, so it is in heaven, let it be on earth. And so he gives me pictures. And the more pictures he started giving me, and the more I started painting, it was practice with the Holy Spirit. It was, I would ask questions while I was painting. I couldn't figure out how to do something. I'd say, well, Lord, how do you do that? And he would show me how to do it. You know, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And so he can teach you even in paintings, or he can teach you, you know, in various different ways. It doesn't just mean he teaches us the word. He also instructs us in other areas. So that's kind of how it started, and I was obedient to do what the Lord said. When other people, you know, gave up, because being an artist or, you know, having that title of artist, there's an expectation on that too, and because of the past, you don't want to get into performance or your imagination. So for me, it's been just being very disciplined and very obedient to listen to what the Holy Spirit says. You know, sometimes, Dan, I'll go into a church or a worship service, and I love the worship service because the Lord will always just download pictures. You know, he'll just start showing me stuff. I can stand beside somebody, and he'll show me their picture. So you have all these pictures flooding in your mind. A lot of times I'll just sketch them out, and, you know, they're in a book somewhere or in a pile because not every picture he gives me I'm supposed to paint. But then sometimes I'll go into a worship service where I'm praying, and somebody will ask me to come and paint a picture. And so, you know, weeks before I go, I'm always asking the Lord, what is it that the church needs to see? What is it they need to hear? What is it that you want to show? Being artistic, you really, you know, the pride, the ego, and all those negative characteristics, you have to fight that off. You know, you just have to shut it out to the enemy and know that I know I'm not doing this, that the Lord God is doing this through me, that he wants. I want to honor him. I want to exalt him. I don't want it to be about somebody seeing me. Oh, you do this. Well, yeah, physically I do that in obedience to what the Holy Spirit is showing me to do or prompting me to do. It's always to exalt him. The Holy Spirit is exalting the King of Kings at all times. You know, that's his position and instruction and things like that. But I want people to see when they see the art that sometimes there's pictures out there on the web that, you know, the Lord just gave me. You know, so, okay, I don't understand this. I don't know who this is for, but I'm going to do it. And then it'll touch somebody, and they'll call or say, wow, that, you know, I had, you know, give me the story. You know, it's not for me, it has been my place that I go, and I can just be with the Lord in quiet solitude, or even in a big group. You know, the Holy Spirit, he always, always comes, and he's been so faithful in showing me that he is always with us. He lives in us, and he's creative. You know, Elohim, God created the whole universe. He's a creative God, and he's given us all creativity one way or the other.
Amen.
So it's just been a... Go ahead.
That's awesome. And I know now when you go through this process, and I'll just say that, you know, you're not only painting at a church, that somebody just comes to you and asks you to do a portrait or do something for them. Now with this process, what do you normally do? I know for me, when you did a picture for me, you asked a picture of me where you can just tune in and see what the Lord wants, and you said you went into worship. Can you kind of let us know how that comes together, how that starts?
Yeah, somebody, there was the story I can tell you. There was a lady at our church that asked, she wanted to buy one of my prints, and as soon as she said that to me, I heard in my spirit, no, you need to paint her own picture. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hold that, Lord. So the next, a week later, I saw her, and she walked right up to me, and she says, I just really feel like the Lord wants you to paint my own picture. I said, yeah, that's exactly what I feel. See, it's always that kind of connection that the Lord works it like that. And I said, okay. So I didn't know anything, you know, about what was going on in her life. I mean, she wasn't a close friend or anything like that. She was a member of our church, and, you know, I know she was a worshiper. I mean, I just knew those kind of things from what I saw from her on the outside, but I didn't know her inner pain. And so I started painting this picture. It's on the website, too. It's called Healing Angel. And I kept doing it one way and doing it another way, and finally, you know, I have to say, okay, I have to put down my mind and say each time, now, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want this person to see about themselves? Because he's kind of like reflecting something back to them, saying, this is what I'm feeling for you, this is how I'm feeling about you, or this is a word for you, kind of like, you know, you do the words of knowledge. So I just was struggling with that picture for a couple of weeks, and I saw at church, and she grabbed my hands. I said, I just really want you to pray about this picture, you know, and ask the Lord to help me finish it because it's almost done. But I knew there was something missing. And honestly, when she touched my hands to pray for me, I saw a flaming crown on top of her head. And I knew that was the final piece that I had not seen. See, I went to her and asked her to pray for me, and then the Lord gave me the finished product. So when you asked me to do a picture for you, I had never seen you before. I've heard your voice, and you know, we talked on the phone. I was feeling the Spirit, you know, was showing me certain things. So when I asked you, I said, Dan, just send me a picture because that's what the Lord said to do. And I thought, well, okay, so when you, because I was getting several different things, but I just wasn't, it was like, okay, it wasn't totally settled in my spirit. I could just feel, you know, I was missing something. So I said, send me your picture. As soon as I opened it, I only looked at it for about 1 second. I clicked it on. I looked at it. Bam. He gave me the download. I went over to the easel, turned on my music. A lot of times I like to listen to worship music without any words, so I'm not hearing anybody else's opinion or anybody else's heart. I'm just hearing the heart of the Lord through the music. And in the music, scientists have found that that sound and light have frequencies, and that there are seven primary colors visible in the spectrum of seven primary notes. So if you're listening to music and there's, even if there are words, but I'm just saying for me personally, say there's a B note being played, that note is a note of passion, and it puts out its colors that are attached to it, and that frequency are red and heat. And so you're listening to the music, and then you see yourself, whatever the tone or the, if it's upbeat or real soft, you'll paint with the sound of that music. It all comes into it. So, see, the musicians have a huge part in what the artists are doing. Then the note of D is for celebration, and it's represented by yellow. And G is nature, and it's represented by green. So not only, you know, is the Holy Spirit working, but if you're listening to music, you're also getting colors that are coming through. And you'll find yourself, you'll pick it up once you get the understanding why those colors are coming and what's going on. So when I saw your picture just for that split second, it was like, wow. And so I was able, you know, stood there for about 5 or 6 hours painting picture. You know, the Lord just moves in mysterious ways. I just know that. But in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says, but we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. And if you continue on in there, he just talks about the spirit of God. And that's truly what it is. It's totally by his spirit.
That's awesome. I know even in some of the healing things that I do, and when I talk and I counsel people, and a lot of times the Lord will just start giving me things about them and let me know what he's going to be doing with them pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our worries is on his heart, and he knows. He's actually, I mean, if you're born and saved, the Lord's inside of you, he knows what's going on, and he wants to help you. And a lot of times he'll use his other children to talk to you, and sometimes he could talk to you himself. I mean, it depends on how open you are and how far you are in Christ that he can do that. But it's like when you're around this person, you just see them, it's like you start
mm-hmm.
getting the whole feel, and all of a sudden the Lord will just like, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll just come to you. It's just like the door's open. But, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I remember when I was talking to you on the phone about my picture, and you were seeing a tree with light coming through, and then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden when you got to your easel and you started worshiping the Lord and you saw my picture, it's like the
yeah.
whole thing changed. It's like the difference between what your soul was seeking and what the Holy Spirit was seeking to get to me. And
right.
that's why what's so awesome. I know there is some psychic painters out here, I'll say, that they go
right.
by what they see, not what the Lord is producing. And that's the difference between somebody's working in the Holy Spirit and somebody's working as a so-called psychic painter. Because when you're working with the Lord, he's going to use his Holy Spirit to tell you exactly what this person needs, what he sees
right.
this person needs. And what was so awesome with my picture was that he saw that I've been seeking to see him physically in front of me, because in my eyes, when you see him, you become like him. I want him to take over this being. I want him to live fully through me all the time. And a lot of people say, well, he already is, and you're saved. But I think difference in different ways than what they say. So, you know, I've been down this road for a long time, and I've saw many things. And when you walk this walk and you live this life, people can talk to you all day long, but you know the truth. Well, what they
right.
say, you know the truth. And the Lord knows the truth. And when you see him, and I mean, I can't tell you how many different ministers I've heard that walks in the power that God is really working through them, they have saw the Lord themselves. He has reappeared to them. I even got friends that have fully reappeared, not in a vision, but just fully showed up. And all of a sudden, their life is like, boom! You know, it's like their ministry is fully opened up. Sid Roth, and what we all listen to, he saw the Lord. His ministry exploded. I mean, it changed him forever. To this day, he's changed. You could hear tons and tons of testimonies that he's done. Well, I'm going to say TV interviews. He maybe did two. He did one. He did one the other day with, who was it? Benny Hinn. He had one with Benny Hinn a couple of days ago, the first one I saw in a long time. And anyway, it was pretty cool. He talks about the day he saw the Lord, and he saw the liquid presence of joy and of the Lord was behind him and all type of things. It was kind of awesome. But anyway, that was what I was been seeking, and her picture actually showed this, and the Lord knew that I was doing this, and showing the stirring that he's getting me ready for this event that's getting ready to happen, but he's stirring me to get me ready for this, and it was awesome, and it really opened me up and let me know, hey, I've been praying all these prayers for people and seeing things happen, but for me, I like to see something happen, you know?
Amen. And see, I could have opted to do what I saw, which might be
yeah.
picture number two that the Lord is showing me, you know, because sometimes it's more than a picture. But what he wanted you to have was where I wanted to be, because that's when I walk in that obedience. And when you're obedient with small, then he'll add on to that. And each time I release a picture to someone, then he gives me another picture and another picture. And so, you know, I guess that's what I call it, the blessing of the Lord. But even with this person that I did the healing angel for, I didn't know there were health issues going on in her body that she needed healing from. So when I asked her, I said, does this mean anything to you? She goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I said, okay. Because it's really, you can pick up on somebody's soul. And sometimes when people are giving you a word, they're picking up on your soul, what your soul desire is, instead of what the Holy Spirit really wants to do. So, you know, it's just like you said, you know, I want to be mindful of what the Lord wants to say, because this is his purpose and plans for my life. It's not what I want to see or what I want to do. And there have been times, actually, when he's asked me to paint something and I'll start it and it's just like, oh, I just don't want it. You know, I just couldn't get it going. And I'll set it aside. And I won't get another picture until I finish that picture. I'll have to go back, press through, because he's dealing with me sometimes. I'm painting a picture of what he wants to deal with me. He's got me sitting still. He's got me in a place that I love to be in. The presence and anointing is there. And he deals with me, too, the same way. I painted some of my own pictures. You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's amazing. To me, it's just amazing the way the Lord works. And just this. There's a lot of research out on how art heals and what's been happening with some of these people that have been painting, but I just read the other day in a magazine that I really think that this kind of talks the Lord's heart by this Ludwig Snyder in Israel. He said when art is inspired by God, it becomes a tool in his hands, and it contains a message that draws the beholder to the truth. I've actually seen people and seen testimonies of pictures that somebody has painted something, and there was this one particular picture of this woman with a bird's nest on her head, and the lady that painted it had no idea why she painted it, and a woman came into where it was hanging and just started weeping because the Lord showed her that picture of herself and that her tumor in her brain would be healed, and it was. And so it's just, to me, I kind of look at it, Stan, like it's a visible word of knowledge or a visible revelation or a visible truth for somebody. It's just that it's the tool that the Lord uses to convey something to somebody. And, you know, I want to stay in that place where he always gets the glory for it. He is, you know, he is the originator of it, and it's just my hands being obedient to use my hands.
And one of the awesome things I saw in your artwork is that, you know, some people will take these gifts and they don't really try to get better with it. They just stay with what they're doing. I've really saw in your artwork where you've tried to get better. You really had other artists to teach you to make different things look better, and where you can make the pictures in your mind to actually become a lot brighter and more clear on the canvas. And I know you told me one day that you was looking at some of the artwork you had underneath your bed, and you looking where you was and how you have, you know, became more into the painter that God was wanting you to be than what you mean where you was when you first started.
And, you know, it's awesome, too, because you think about it, if you have the gift of evangelism, what do? You go out and you practice evangelizing. You have the gift of prophecy, you know, you practice prophesying. And it was the same thing with this, the art. You know, some people say, oh, no, you know, you just do it and you don't get any training. But really, I've seen that, you know, we get trained to reign. So, and even in all that, the Holy Spirit, I saw, like there's some classes here in town, and he would pinpoint the person I was supposed to take the class with. And the first person I took the class with was this awesome guy, Barney Slice. And he took me under his wing. He was a Christian, still is, and showed me how to use the paintbrushes, what kind of paintbrushes made what kind of strokes. Now, he painted a different, he was an outdoor nature person. You know, he painted totally different. But I watched his technique. I watched what he did. And then, you know, he would paint, and we'd have to paint what he painted. And it was 2 years or so of training, just doing it, you know, just opening up myself to it and being a testimony of the people that I've taken the art classes with, because I always had the opportunity to talk about the Lord if I did something that was different, and I always gave him the glory for, you know, what he was doing. And it's an awesome we have a group that kind of meets once a month or so at different houses here in town. And one of the girls has a master's in art, and, you know, she kind of just laid that down. But then when we all get together, we stir one another up in our gifts, and we stir one another up, and one person will learn something and they'll share it, or another person will, and might be talking about something that's going on in their life, or I'm about ready to give up. I mean, in these 4 years, almost going into five now, there's been bazillion times that the enemy said, you just need to lay that down. This isn't, you know, all that negative chatter that goes onto your head because he's trying to get you out of what God wants you to do, that you have to stand in that thing and keep standing in it and keep pressing through till you get through on the other side. Now when I hear it, I'm like, yeah, I know who's talking. I'm just going to keep, I'm moving forward with the Lord in it. But that was when I was recycling canvases because, you know, you paint so much, and I started putting them underneath my bed, and it was like the first year or so when I started, and I pulled them out, and I looked at those canvases. I thought, wow, you know, look what the Lord has done, you know, that I was open to do and followed his leading, but look what the Lord has done. I could have given up, and that's one thing a lot of artists do. They just give up because it might be financial reasons, or they just don't want to set aside the time to, you know, that it takes to practice. It, you know, you want to play the piano, well, you just don't sit down. I mean, I know I've heard stories of people that have, but in general, you don't just sit down and play a beautiful song. You know, you learn and you practice and you stay at it and you stay in it. And what you learn going through the process of growing, you know, I could look at those pictures under the bed and think, wow, I'm kind of embarrassed, but, you know, it was the Lord then too, but that I was obedient to do what he said to do in it then now. And, you know, in 5 years from now, I'll look back on what I'm doing now and say, oh, wow, I'm embarrassed because I believe the Lord, you know, for his plans and purposes for me.
That's awesome. It's that he was getting you trained up to be where you're, where you are now, and to make your pictures more seeable and noticeable to people, you know, where it could really touch them. And, you know, anybody can get a vision and see a paintbrush, but not all the time their hands are going to be able to do what their vision is showing them. And it takes some training to train your hands and train your physical mind of what to use, what brushes to use. And when you get into that, you know, you'll start, you know, like you said, you start producing what you need to, and evangelism, healing, anything, you know, it's like that. You learn by mistakes. You learn by people that's been walking in this for a while, you know, their ins and outs and what they've ran into, where you have, you know, experience from them to give you a little bit more knowledge on what you're doing. And it's amazing just to see how that works. And I really, really give the people, you know, if you want a good prosthetic painting done and a professional painting done, just get hold of Rhonda Olin, and she'll be more than happy to help you with that. And she has many, many pictures on her website that she's already done, and maybe one of those pictures will actually touch you, and maybe you'd want to purchase one in the future. And see, your website is, it's www.expressinghiminart.com.
Yes.
And that's her website. You got any more, anything else you'd like to say about the website and all that?
No, you know, just, you know, to keep your mind free of things that will block you, you know, and set aside the time to, you know, commit that to the Lord and give him that time to, you know, if you're artistic, for him to reveal from heaven what he wants to reveal through you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
This has been an awesome interview, and we learned a lot from you today, and I'm sure this show is going to touch a lot, you know, many a person, and really touch them to where they need to be, and you know, in situations in your testimony, to open their eyes and help them to heal, to help them to see what the Lord can do through them as he has done through you and got you through so many difficult circumstances. I know this is going to really touch a lot of people. But like I said, you know, really go to her website, and it's right on the bottom of this show, and just go click on it, go to it and check out her website, see her paintings. They will touch you, I guarantee you. And one thing I want to ask you, what type of testimonies have you got off your pictures? I forgot to ask you that.
Oh, yes. Well, like your testimony, the other girl's testimony, I've had people, the same type of testimonies that, wow, you know, they'll see something. And what's really neat, too, is sometimes they'll see something, a picture, but it doesn't have to be what I saw. It's multifaceted. Like, so somebody's looking at a picture of one of I've done with somebody worshiping or something like that. You know, the Lord gave me the words from that I was seeing while I was doing it, but people can actually look at it and get their own testimony. They'll see something totally different. And I love that because, you know, we're not all the same, and the Lord is showing me something, but it doesn't mean that's what you're going to see. You're going to see whatever the Spirit wants you to see by looking at that picture. And those have been some of the things, like somebody was standing there, wow, I see that as that and that and that, and I'm like, yeah, you know. I don't have to tell them, you know, no, you're wrong, because there's no wrong. That's what the Lord showed them. It doesn't have to be what I painted that he showed me. And so,
yeah.
There's just been, you know, there have been testimonies of people's healings and, you know, just at their heart, and especially when it's hanging on their wall. It's something that you see every day in your home. It's something that the Lord
yeah.
can remind you. You know, it's kind of like a bookmark in your life, a reminder. And I think that's why I like doing one specifically for people, because that's kind of like a word for them in visible form.
That's awesome. And, you know, like I said, just go to her website and just check out what she does. And I'm sure, you know, these paintings will bless you. And I got a word for her the other day when we get ready to put this show together. And I told her that the Lord revealed through me that her paintings will change as you go. And I've never known a painting will actually change that somebody paints, but prophetic paintings change because the Lord has touched them, and anything that the Lord has touched is able to change. He's able to change that. And you may see things change in these pictures that she's painting and receive healing and all type of unique things. And, you know, you'll be blessed. And I really, really hold out, you know, just check out her site and see what she does, and let her gift and her art bless you. And I want to thank you again, Rhonda, for coming on the show. It's been a blessing to have you on the show.
Well, thank you, Stan, because it's been a real blessing, you know, to be on the show and just to glorify the Lord. That's our favorite thing, right?
Amen. And I like to tell everybody, that's listening, you know, go to the Healing Light Show on Facebook, like the page. If you're listening to this broadcast now, just follow the broadcast on Blog Talk, and anytime that we post a show, you will see it. And just check out the shows. Go to the archives, find all the shows I've done. If you feel one that you're pulled to, just listen to it, and it will touch you. And I've got a lot of shows that I've prayed, you know, a lot over, and I've prayed on the show, you may receive a healing. And if you get a healing from one of these shows, please go on the Healing Light Show and just give a testimony of what the Lord's did in your life, or go on Stan Sheld on Facebook and just let me know what's going on. And if you do need a prayer, just post your prayer on the Healing Light page on Facebook, and we all will pray over it for you. So, God bless every one of y'all, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
The scattered words and empty thoughts seem to pour from my heart. I've never felt so torn before. I don't know where to start, but it's now that I feel